السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The wife of a Hafiz al-Quran suffered from a high fever for which she was admitted to my ward. She was recovering gradually. One evening, the nurse of the ward informed me by telephone that she was reciting the kalima loudly. I immediately rushed to the ward. When I reached there, she had already passed away. On inquiry, it was found that the deceased was regular in offering her salah and in fasting, and she too was a hafiza. The husband was a hafiz, she too was a hafiza. A pious zamindar of Multan was engaged with the work of da'wah and tabligh since 1950. He had also traveled to many foreign countries with the jamaat. Whenever the demand was made to spare time for the cause of Islam, he was the first to stand up and state that his whole life is for Islam. In his old age, he had a severe heart attack. We all advised him to have complete bed rest and treatment. One day he was resting on the bed. He sat up suddenly. Still sitting on the bed, he started reciting the kalima. He then said that it was time for him to leave this dunya. While looking upwards towards the ceiling, he appeared to be addressing somebody and he asked, "What arrangements have been made by my Allah Ta'ala for my reception, for my istiqbal? What arrangements have been made by my Allah Ta'ala? How many malaika would bouquets of flowers are waiting for me?" Thereafter he recited the kalima and he breathed his last. Such mawt, such type of death Allah Ta'ala grants to people who have dedicated their lives for the true deen of Allah Ta'ala. This is the same type of effort that was made by the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. After Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam being the last of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, so now this task has been assigned to the Muslim Ummah at large. Those who associate with this mission, with this struggle to spread the deen of Allah Ta'ala, obviously with ikhlas, etc., then they left the dunya with very enviable deaths. So a few years back, when construction work was in progress to extend Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards Jannatul Baqi, some kubur of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum needed to be moved. So, in 1986, I had seen those kubur myself. Now, obviously, those from Sahaba's time, then how old those kubur are. During the construction, those kubur of Sahaba radiallahu anhum were relocated to Jannatul Baqi. With the details of this relocation also being published in the Urdu Daily. It was Hajj time and therefore this process of relocating the bodies was carried out at night so that fewer people may come to know about it. Some of my relatives had gone for Hajj during that period and they had the opportunity of having a look at the Mubarak bodies of those Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When their bodies were taken out from their kubur, they were as fresh as if buried recently. There was no signs at all of any decomposition or of being infected with worms or insects, etc. Absolutely nothing. Bodies are fresh. He says, nearly 65 years ago, those Sahaba radinonum of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had been buried on the bank of the river Dijla, the Tigris. So they were in danger of being swamped by the river water. The then ruler of the time had a dream in which he received instructions from those Sahaba radiallahu anhum that they must be placed at some dry place. In those days, the ruler of Iraq would consult the ulama. He did this and then decided to open the qabrs of two of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and relocate them to another safer place. Even non-Muslims from foreign countries came over to witness this scene. They all saw that the bodies of both the Sahaba radiallahu anhuma appeared quite fresh. So much so, it appeared as if they had just passed away. It appeared as if they were merely sleeping, except that they were not able to move themselves. Yet more than 1350 years had passed since they were buried. Many non-Muslims entered into the fold of Islam after having witnessed this miraculous phenomenon. When the Mangla Dam in Pakistan was being constructed, sand for the embankment was being collected from various areas. During this process, an excavator happened to come across a qabr. In the qabr lay a body, and a snake could be seen seated on its face, repeatedly biting him. This was witnessed by all those who were present there. Some religious people commenced dhikrullah and started reciting Durood Sharif. Others were reciting Quran Sharif and making dua and maghfirat for this person, that Allah Ta'ala must seize his azab. After a short while, the snake disappeared. This incident was conveyed to me personally by an engineer who was part of the team constructing the embankment. The following incident occurred nearly 20 years ago. I had accompanied a medical officer to open up a qabr which was situated in the qabristan outside a village by the name of Kot Mithan. The deceased has been buried there just 5 days previously. The qabr was opened in my presence. What we witnessed was that the qabr was filled with big black shining flies and large worms, while in the depths of the qabr, snakes and scorpions were scurrying around. The scene was absolutely dreadful. Just about everybody ran away. Even the government officials who were with us could not bear to see the scene. The great issue that faced us now was how to take the dead body out for us to perform an autopsy. Great care had to be taken. Two very reluctant laborers were assigned this task, but only after being pressurized by the police. It was with great difficulty that the body was tied with ropes and lifted out. Seeing the heaps of worms and swarms of flies engulfing the body, one laborer collapsed and went into a coma from which he did not recover. He passed away that same evening. Whenever I recall the scene, I break out into a sweat and I am overtaken by the thought of what will happen to me when I am placed in the qabr. If I prepare myself before death, then benevolent treatment may be anticipated. If it is the other way around, Allah Ta'ala forbid, there may be permanent failure. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq to prepare ourselves for a good death, a husn-e khatima. I had a friend who was a medico-legal forensic specialist in the government medical department. On behalf of the government, as part of his duties, he generally had to open up graves and retrieve bodies for autopsy. He told me that at one place he had to retrieve a corpse that had been buried in a temporary grave. When the grave was opened, such a pungent stench came out that all the relatives of the deceased immediately moved away. A strange-looking snake emerged from the grave, a type of snake which my friend had never seen before, nor described anywhere in the world. Even after waiting for a whole day, the stench did not abate. Finally, he had to examine the corpse in that condition. The scene was most disturbing, and all present there were completely baffled. Undoubtedly, nobody could give any explanations as to the cause of the condition of the deceased. This is the final qissa, final incident that he mentions here, that once the angel of death, Hazrat Israel alayhi salam, appeared in the form of a human being in the court of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, and he gazed continuously for some time at a person who was present there, looking at him. So, after some time, the angel of death moved away. The person asked Sulaiman alayhi salam that who was this person? He said that he was the angel of death. So he remarked, he said, the angel of death had gazed at me in such a manner as if he was determined to take my life. So this person requested Sulaiman alayhi salam, he said that you have got command over the wind. So tell the wind, must take me away somewhere very far, frightened for the angel of death. So consequently, he was carried away. So the wind carried him away according to the qissa here, they say carried him away to India. So this incident I heard before, I don't know how authentic it is, but when this person went there, the Malakul Maut was waiting for him there to take his life. So later on, when Sulaiman alayhi salam met with Malakul Maut, he asked him, he said, why you made that person ghabrat, staring at him? So Malakul Maut said that I was instructed to take his life in that land. So I'm sitting here in your court, I'm wondering what this person is doing here. That's why I was looking at him. So he asked, you must tell the wind to take him away. He thought he's escaping. That was the place I supposed to take his life. So he took his life over there. So Allahu alam, how authentic the qissa is. But the sabak is that we can't run away from maut. Death, wherever it is destined, it is going to get us. Our maut will get us. We can't run away from that. Yes, what we can do is live a life in such a way that Allah Ta'ala gives us a maut upon iman. Allah gives us a pleasant maut, a maut upon iman. That effort we can make. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The other day we were speaking about that birthing facility. So Mufti Fayaz was here. He's gone back home now to Amzinto. He's originally from Rustenburg. He's teaching now in Dawatul Haq. So he came to me after the program. He said, Mawlana, I want to share something with you. So he came to tell me, he said that my first child was born. So we were at home and the wife went into labor very quick and we couldn't make it to go to the hospital. He said, so I delivered the baby. She had the doula on the line and I delivered the baby. So he's telling me what you're saying is true. It's a natural process. So then I mentioned this at home, what Mufti Fayaz said. They told me that Mawlana Hamza's brother-in-law, his niyat is to deliver his own baby. He's making it to deliver the baby. And then they're telling me that some households in Azadwal, few of the ulama, they have delivered their own babies. They assisted their wives and they delivered their own baby at home. The husband helped the wife and delivered the baby. So it is a natural process. It just may be few things that person needs to learn. Few things person needs to learn. But that's what we lacking. We don't learn. We just left it to somebody else. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. I'm not saying you must go deliver your own babies. Just the point is that it's a simple, natural thing. So it's a simple thing. Yes, we've turned it into this like a monster kind of a thing. A person has to go every month, check out this, that. No need. It's a natural thing. Allah Ta'ala takes care of it. What's meant to be after that is meant to be. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.